Hi, everybody. My name is Melissa Campanelli. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration and host of today's live event, Unlocking Online Conversion, Bringing Your Best Web and Store Features Together, sponsored by V24. The best and only way the holy grail of omnichannel can become a reality for retailers today is if they make a real commitment to customer experience and the tools that help customer channels overlap and integrate. Today, we're going to learn how to bring your best web and store features together in this lively and interactive webinar featuring consultant Glenn Bradley, the managing partner of the Retail Think Tank, and Steve Green, a vice president at V24. We're going to hear best practices around omnichannel integration, as well as how live video can bring the in-store experience to e-commerce channels, resulting in up to 10 times conversion lift, along with higher AOV and record customer satisfaction rates. Before we get started, however, let me point out a few quick tips about how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Also, please turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the widgets at the bottom of the console. And remember, your console is interactive, so you can click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn how you can customize your experience today. Okay, well, with that, here to discuss how to integrate your web store and your online is Glenn Bradley. Take it away, Glenn.
Thanks, Melissa. So hello, let me add my personal welcome to today's call on bringing your best web and store features together. I am Glenn Bradley. And, you know, there couldn't be probably a hotter topic that we could talk about today than the subject that we're talking about. The focus is on how retailers are positioning themselves, or should be, approaching the decision to unify their physical and their digital environments. Now, I realize at this point in 2015, many of the retailers on our call today may be at very different places on this journey. But at this point, we're not talking if retailers should be moving in this direction. No, really, creating an integrated channel presence is merely table stakes for today's market. The train really has left the station. So let me just take a second here and tell you a little bit about myself. So I had a 36-year career at Levi Strauss & Company and an operations and technology executive. When I left Levi Strauss, I was the vice president of customer and business operations. And I was fortunate to spend a great deal of time working with Fortune 100 and 500 retailers, such as Macy's and Kohl's and JCPenney's, as they began their journeys down this omni-channel path. So today I've teamed up with four other senior retail leaders to form the Retail Think Tank, and our aim is to bring real-world experience to retailers and brand wholesalers who are facing important issues such as today's topic. So the changing face of retail. Now, let's recognize retail is very much in a rapid transition, or really you could say a transformation today. So relative to omnichannel and integrating web and store best features, there are many angles we could discuss in today's session, but I thought for the purpose of our presentation that the definition that we have here works out to be a good definition, and I actually prefer multi-channel retailing to omni-channel. But let's go with the definition. It's the use of a variety of channels in a customer shopping experience, and here is a real key, I think, for today's presentation. It includes the research before a purchase, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about this aspect of multi-channel. And the channels could include, as you're well aware, retail stores, online stores, mobile stores. Actually, probably this diagram is a little bit dated in that we don't have a smartwatch listed on here that we could add today. So it continues to grow. So generalizations are just that. I mean, in some cases, they're too general to fit all situations. But if we look at most retailers and the path that they have followed to become multi-channel, most began with their stores, as that's how they were birthed as a retailer. And then sometime maybe in the late 90s or early 2000s, they may have added a website as the internet grew in popularity to display product or brand information. And then maybe somewhere around the 2005 to 2010 period, began to move into a e-commerce business and begin to sell on the web. Now, Given this path, retailers tended to create separate business units as it was less disruptive to their brick-and-mortar business. And the thinking in terms of selling is very different, or was very different at that point, to selling in on the web versus in-store. So what we find is that most retailers, having followed this path, have separate leadership, separate organizations. There are separate physical locations to house inventory, separate systems to view inventory, and separate ordering systems. Now, this may have worked well enough in the recent past up to this point, but I would suggest to you that with the advance of mobile devices and social media, this is not a platform or a scenario for success going forward. So how has mobile changed the landscape? Research tells us that 76% of buying decisions are made at the shelf. However, the path to decision, again, is dramatically different. So one of the things I thought, I read recently an article where the author of The New Rules of Customer Engagement, Daniel Newman, really sort of highlighted in an example that he used from his own life of what the new rules of shopping are today. And I'm going to relate the story that he shared. Now, Daniel has a 12-year-old daughter, Haley, whose club soccer season was about to begin. And as a 12-year-old, he realized that she's growing so quickly that he hasn't kept up with all of her soccer needs and that she's going to need a new pair of soccer shoes. So knowing that he was about to go on vacation and that as soon as they returned, they'd be full swing into the season, he jumped on his mobile device while wrapping up a dinner out. He started scanning popular online soccer sites for a pair of shoes, found a pair that he thought Haley would love, and he added them to his shopping cart. Later, when he got home, he jumped on his iMac to show Haley the shoes, and being the typical divide between a 12-year-old and her father, they weren't quite the right ones, but she helped him to select the right one. They got it into the cart, but Daniel knew that his wife probably had some type of discount code, so he told Haley we'd wait for Mom to get home so that we don't miss out on any of the discounts. Well, life goes on. They got distracted and somehow wound up completely forgetting about the soccer shoes. Until about 24 hours later, Daniel was tinkering around on his iPad, and he received an inbound email reminding him that he had items in his cart. Oh, and in that email, there was also a discount code that gave him free shipping and a small discount on the purchase if he would select some other items to go along with it. So let's think about this purchase, this path to the purchase. Started with a smartphone out at dinner, followed up with a desktop experience back at home, and then 24 hours later, moved to a tablet device, and then finally an email notification that finally moved this to a conversion. So omnichannel has become a reflection of the choice that consumers have and how they engage a brand, and brands can't invest so heavily in one channel that they now miss the ubiquitous nature and how consumers want to engage. So, as we move along here, I don't want to cover you up with too much data here, but I think there are some data points that help to outline this. So, Loud House, an independent research agency, recently surveyed 7,000 consumers in seven countries. This would be the U.S., U.K., Australia, Brazil, France, Germany, and Japan. And they found some interesting things about the shopping experience that sort of backs up the example that we just had from Daniel. And they also found quite a gap between customer expectations of the shopping experience and what is actually being delivered. So, in fact, they found that 67% of these 7,000 shoppers surveyed, they made purchases that involved multiple channels in the past 6 months. So that kind of gets us to our first data point there. Nearly 7 out of 10 shoppers actually used multiple channels before they made the purchase. However, they did say that 87% of the brands must work harder to create a seamless experience for customers. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the seamless experience as we go. But just some other data points here that sort of continue along this thought. A quote from Eric Singleton, the CIO at Chico's. In other words, there is no hard and fast, no distinctive start and stop point for a person going from the web into the store. if you really think about it, it's an endless continuum. And then Google sponsored some research where they show that 90% of consumers multi-screen between devices to accomplish a goal. Now, this goes beyond just the shopping experience. But what it does point out is how important that the smartphone or other devices have become in the way that people live their lives, whether it's shopping or other aspects of their lives. So there are a lot of retailers who have made an attempt to establish the omnichannel opportunity, but most have not thought enough about the overall customer experience as he or she passes through various phases of the day and when that customer is likely to use which device or visit which store and tying all of that together. So it just makes this fourth bullet that we have down here so important, is that a recent Forrester report forecasts that 60% of all retail sales will involve the internet by 2017. So again, the customer decision-making relative to a purchase has changed completely today. And again, the omnichannel experience is becoming table stakes simply because of the way people shop. Now, let me tap the brakes just a bit before we get too far onto technology. Let's talk about some foundation principles here that are necessary for retailers to close the gap. And remember, we had 87% of those surveyed who were saying, you know, there's too big of a gap between what a retailer is providing and what we expect relative to performance. So let's talk about behind the technology what really needs to be in place. And I will admit, I'm something of an old operation salt, so I'm always looking for building blocks or foundation principles before we move forward. So again, going back to their discussion about the typical journey that retailers have moved and how they're supporting two channels. Again, two channels in terms of leadership, two different physical inventories, both online and in physical locations. There's no one order management system that sort of covers both or all sets of inventory. And then pricing and assortment decisions on and on are made along separate channel lines as opposed to looking at the business the way your customer looks at it from a unified standpoint. So it's not, a formula for being able to support new customer experience requirements. So what are people doing about it? Well, for example, companies such as Starbucks, Zappos, and Sephora are uniting formerly disparate marketing and digital teams to come together in one group to create an integrated customer experience regardless of channel. And we're starting to see this more and more often retailer across retailer where there has become the O word now being introduced at the C-level suite. A quote from the chairman at Saks, "We have to change how we do business. The world has been moving forward toward an omni-channel environment where customers want to shop anytime, anywhere. You want to look holistically at your business." So no amount of technology, regardless of how shiny that toy is or, you know, how gee whiz that toy is, can overcome the lack of execution. So foundation principles on this path to the integration of your digital and physical environments, there has to be senior leadership commitment to a multi-channel or omni-channel experience. Core strategies and capital investment have to be in place and support, again, this shared strategy. Operational and back-end administration have to be addressed. You need one order system that basically is going to employ rules that work across all of devices and across all of your channels. And then, again, the organizational structure that exists, that everyone's on the same page and centered in the same way and aligned towards the customer experience. So with the foundation principles in place, what's next? This is where the digital strategy now becomes so key. There are four key areas, and I'm sure there are others that for those that have moved down this path towards a mobility strategy, but there are four key areas that must be addressed through a digital strategy that then guides and informs decisions that are relative to specific technologies that will be used to facilitate the customer experience. But the business strategy must guide and drive the digital strategy. This is not about throwing, you know, this digital strategy over the fence to the CIO and his IT team. But the business results must factor in and be the important guide towards the strategy. So what are the four things that that I feel like and have listed here as really key? The first would be in terms of Wi-Fi-enabled stores. So ACG research projects that peak period bandwidth will grow at a 52% compound annual growth rate over the next 5 years. Mobile device media data rates are going to increase 30% annually. In many cases, retailers have put in pipes to carry their point of sale data back up to the corporate headquarters and so forth. But we're talking about really evaluating, really projecting, looking out at where smartphone and tablet growth is going relative to bandwidth, and really thinking about how the technologies that you're going to be using in store are going to be facilitated by the way that customers are shopping with their mobile devices. And obviously, all of the mobile devices, the first graphic that we looked at showed quite a few. And there is quite a, you know, a lot of choices, and again, they continue to be added as we see the smartwatch and other wearable technologies perhaps that are being introduced. So how do you handle it? Well, you have to eat an elephant, you know, one bite at a time. An example of where this becomes more a strategy and more how you have to create timelines and roadmaps is, I remember listening to Mike Rogers, who oversees Omnichannel at JCPenney's, when he was talking last fall about the rollout of their new smartphone app. And it was basically the first thing in rolling this app was a decision between do we start with iOS or do we start with Droid, because, you know, based on what we have to have a path here and go one selection at a time. Those are the sorts of decisions that get wrapped up into this mobility strategy. Really important in terms of being able to develop roadmaps and strategies to move effectively towards the goals that you want from Omnichannel. Security, outside of this particular topic, probably no other hotter topic in retail circles today. Certainly near and dear to C-level and board executives, but relative to the customer experience, not only do the customers want what they want, when they want, and see what they want, but it has to be a secure experience. And then with the sophistication, increasing sophistication of cloud-based platforms and applications that can work in store today, really needs to be a part of that digital strategy. So Goldman Sachs estimates that mobile commerce will deliver $626 billion in sales in 2018. Now here's the key, which half of that will be represented from mobile devices. So e-commerce, which is so important in so many cases today to the retailers both maintaining current revenues and growth strategies, we'll start to see many of these sales start to move to mobile devices. So beyond that then, what I would also say that I'm seeing is a best practice is developing a culture of innovation. So you've got your business and mobile strategy in place. You have the organization aligned, investment budgets are now planned, and it's on to execution. And in many cases, what a lot of leaders in this area are doing are actually creating an innovation organization to address customer experience requirements. Now, some of the leaders that we've seen recently in the news around this in this regard would be Walmart, Sephora, CVS, Nordstrom's, McDonald's. But one company I listened to lately where I thought they provided some really interesting thoughts around their innovation program was Neiman Marcus. And Neiman Marcus was the chief architect was telling us that, you know, each quarter they get 15 to 20 ideas that are seriously considered by their innovation group. Okay, three or four of those get into their lab for pilots, and then from there, the results will determine how they move forward on their future. But think about 80 new ideas every year that are getting serious consideration. But it, beyond that, just the nuts and bolts of getting new ideas, it's the culture change that's interesting. Because as the technology, for instance, that Neiman Marcus is introducing into their stores, it begins to train their store operations people and their customer service representatives in store to watch in particular how customers engage their brand and where there are areas that innovation can make the customer experience even more meaningful for their shoppers. So notice I didn't say that necessarily it had to be an innovation organization, because that's not going to scale to budgets for smaller retailers. But there are ways to create the culture of innovation. It just has to be sponsored and it has to be systemic. Okay, so what are forward-thinking retailers doing to drive customer experience? Again, there are so many things that we could talk about in this regard, but with the time that we're given, I chose to pick three here that I think that are really important. Again, going back to our topic of moving sort of web best practices into the store. And the three areas that I thought I would touch on here before my time was up, the first one would be seamless integration. So there can't be a drop-off in experience as a customer moves from the web to the store. And I would suspect if we go back to, again, to the research we talked about earlier, where 87% of customers were dissatisfied, I would suspect a lot of that was due to the inconsistent way that the customer was engaged from the web to the store and the various modes of mobile devices. Okay, so we'll talk a little about that. Personalization. The web has become such a place for a rich store of information in ways of really being able to understand your customer. And so to be able to take those practices into the store to glean even better and more information, it would be a best practice. And then rich media. So websites today that are best practice are heavily engaged in terms of the usage of rich media, and this is also a situation where it can be brought from the web into the store. Now, each one of these could be its own webinar or even a series of webinars, so I'm just going to be touching sort of briefly as we move along on each one of these here. Okay. So let me start with something that I will admit up front is a very, very tall order. Seamless integration. So, again, I'm not going to kid anyone that the effort here is not only an uphill climb, but it's not one that's inexpensive. But, again, we're not talking about a topic here that can be put off because as customers have changed the way they're shopping, it's one that really has to be tackled if a retailer is going to win in this space. So at the risk of throwing too much data at you on this topic, I did want to give you one more example of how important seamless integration is to the customer experience. I reached out this time to an infographic from Ampliance, a leading cloud-based merchandise and marketing platform, and they sort of gave us an indication of what a shopping day is sort of beginning to look like for a lot. Smartphones brighten the commute to work and dominate online shopping activity between 6 and 9 a.m. In fact, 65% of consumers start their online shopping journey on their smartphones. So post-commute, consumers may continue their path to purchase by doing some comparison shopping on their desktop. Many shoppers like to read reviews and watch product videos during their office lunch hour before purchasing items online. After rushing home cooking dinner, the consumer's journey continues as he or she kicks back, browses, and purchases from their tablet. This is the way that shopping is getting done. So good experiences in this regard and bad experiences will extend to and impact the way that the brand is looked at and will impact the brand loyalty. So the seamless experience is both technical and service-oriented. Customers want a single view of inventory, and as customers move from one channel or device, they want to pick up where they left off in this shopping journey, and they want to be able to pick up from the store or home delivery regardless of where it's purchased. So, again, back to the quote from Saks, people want to shop where they want, when they want, and they want to be able to pick up where they want and when they want. Again, a very tall order, I realize. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about personalization then. So let's start with the example in our picture today. This customer was accustomed to a shop owner knowing her preferences. Now, today's retailers can replicate this sort of personalization in a mass world. Loyalty programs, which in the recent past have become rich stores of customer insight and preferences based on browsing and purchasing history on the web, can now be brought into the store to create the personalized experience that this shopper received in the 40s. So how can loyalty programs be leveraged in the store? The key, of course, is getting the customer to download and utilize the app, which will now be on their smartphone. This can now bring in the preference information that's been developed from the web and online over the years. Now, coupled with beacons, things can really begin to get cozy for the shopper. So I realize there's a wide audience on the phone today, and beacons are simply a low-cost piece of hardware. It's small enough to attach to a wall or a countertop. They use battery-friendly, low-energy Bluetooth connections to transmit messages or prompts directly to a smartphone or tablet. So these are now poised to help retailers personalize the in-store shopping experience. So as a customer enters the store, if they engage their app, you now know as a retailer that they're in the store, you know their preferences. So you can immediately either communicate with them relative to promotions or new products or accessories that will directly affect this customer. Or as they move along within the store and as they reach areas that you know that are areas that you're promoting, the beacon can either then communicate again directly with the customer or it could communicate with your in-store personnel who now has the same information that this shop owner in the picture would have had in his mind from dealing with this customer, can engage the shopper now in a personalized way, knowing their preferences and being able to help them to close the deal. And then the third was rich media. So rich media really fuels the experience. Let me actually back up for a moment again. Having a wide range on the audience, what am I talking about when I talk about rich media? So this is it's an internet advertising term for a web page ad that uses advanced technology such as streaming video or downloaded app programs that can interact instantly with a user, ads that may change when a user's mouth passes over. So it's really the use of video, it's the use of rich graphics, of infographics, and so forth, 360-degree views that really transform the experience that someone has when they're on your online site. Now, can you think back to what a website looked like in 1999? I can tell you, it was pretty much text-based, and in some cases, there would be a hyperlink along that text that you might click that would get you to some further text and so forth that we could communicate, but it really wasn't much of experience if you can compare now 15, 16 years later. So those websites that are really sort of best practice in this regards today are basically really utilizing the graphics, the video technology. You know, just Sunday afternoon, I just decided to do a little browsing around this, and there were a couple that kind of caught my eye, and again, it was based on sorts of things that I was already shopping for, but you know, Home Depot had videos, for example, on how to manage projects or why their installation providers at Home Depot were so highly rated. The Container Store had a wealth of videos on how to organize effectively. So, you know, forward-thinking retailers today are really taking advantage of this video technology. And now, bringing this in store, though, omnichannel leaders are starting to look at this in sort of, you know, a few of the following ways. So stores utilizing RFID technology for inventory control, which is a building block in terms of supporting omnichannel fulfillment, but they're starting to leverage the technology to drive either interactive kiosk in which as products are brought close to the kiosk. They can communicate in so many ways regarding video concerning that purchase, or fitting room mirrors and displays. Again, providing product images, rich product images and videos in a way that help to accessorize and inform purchasing decisions. There are many companies that are starting to create tabletop displays that mirror much that what happens on the online site that allows the shoppers as they're in store to be able to capture information as they touch and feel those sorts of things, being able to capture that in this tabletop display if they don't have their smartphone to do this. And then, again, as they're home and they pick up from their desktop, they have that information that they took on the display earlier, and it's now available to them to continue on with that purchasing decision. Speaking of Neiman Marcus, again, I love their new mirror, smart mirror technology that allows a customer, for instance, to try on a dress, capture an 8-second video on this mirror, then go back, try on a second dress, come back, and see those two those dresses on her side by side. Again, there are so many things that we could talk about. I could spend just a whole presentation on this area, but those are some of the few. So then I'll finish up then just saying, and the one other sort of advantage where, again, the web has been such a great place to gather information on customers and customer preferences. But now being able to integrate these in-store experience where the beacons are capturing foot traffic and they're capturing the amount of time that people are spending at fixtures and where they're at in the store and what they're interacting with, being able to now take that information, couple it with the online information that's been that has been there in the past, you're really reaching a point where you can find a true voice of your customer across all channels, that sort of 360-degree view with your brands and with your experience. Now, bringing predictive analytics in just gives you way more information and fuel, if you will, to start to craft and design strategies around sales growth with information that just wasn't available in the past. So I've spent a lot of time here talking about how to try to integrate the web with in-store and to do that. And so at this point, what I'm going to do is hand the presentation over to Steve Green and let him talk about maybe working the other way and taking best practices from the store to the web. So there you go, Steve.
Thank you very much, Glenn. I appreciate it, and thanks to everybody in the audience for spending some time on a busy day, I'm sure, for all of you. So I wanted to maybe even take one step back for 1 second and kind of ask the question, I guess I will ask the question to myself, but why does all of this matter? And why are we thinking about the integration across channels? Why do we think that best practices from in-store can impact online? And if you start to think about that, I mean, obviously in the end, what we're all doing with our businesses, whatever type of business it is and whatever type of product or service that we're looking to sell, we're in the end trying to grow our business. We're trying to drive sales and we're trying to drive revenue. And in the end, it's a very customer-centric way we need to view these things. So the customer, the end user, our prospective customers that are coming to our stores and coming to our websites, the experience that they have is critical to how they perceive your brand and how likely they are to purchase a product or to return to your site or your store and purchase more products and services. And so the customer experience that you are offering directly affects sales conversion. And, you know, there's all sorts of statistics that can back that up, that some of which are highlighted on this slide. But if a customer has a good experience, they're much more likely to buy, and they're much more likely to return. And if they have a bad experience, they're much more likely to bounce and go somewhere else. And the challenge, of course, that you have with the online world versus the bricks and mortar retail world is that it's very easy to get frustrated with an initial experience that you have and go find comparable products and go be able to purchase them. It's a little bit harder to do that in a store because then you may have to get in your car and drive somewhere else. But online, it becomes even much more prevalent and much more important than it does in store. And I'm probably not telling you anything you don't know there in the audience that, retailers, of course, are responding by investing more and more of their budgets in ensuring that they have customer experiences that delight their customers. So you have to focus on taking those things that happen in store that help you give a good customer experience, that help you give a good way in which they can learn about products, research products, and buy products, and drive that from that retail experience into the online experiences that you are offering. So, needless to say, again, I think a statistic that everybody's pretty aware of, more or less, is that you have great conversion rates when you get someone in your store. On average, 30 to 40%, but yet in an online situation where obviously you're getting more traffic, you're getting much less conversion rates, you know, on the order of 10% of the conversion rates that you're getting in online, in your in-store conversions. And so then as you sit there and think about how you can draw some of the best practices from in-store to online, you need to think, well, what is it that's going on in-store that I can learn from, and what best practices can I take from that experience and bring them into my online experience or experiences, as we'll talk about in a minute. And so you start to think, you know, what's been happening over the course of the last, let's say, 10-plus years in terms of where organizations have been investing in the online experience and how that relates to what was happening in-store. So you think about the concept of what we refer to as instant gratification, which is if I go drive to a store and I'm going to go buy, like Glenn talked about the soccer shoe example. I need those cleats for my 12-year-old daughter. You drive to the store, you buy the cleats, you leave the store, you've got the cleats in your hand. So you have this concept of, you know, instant gratification in terms of getting those cleats. If it turns out those cleats were the wrong size, you can go back to the store and return them directly. And so if you look at the innovation that was led by Amazon around free shipping, and you look at the innovation that was more or less led by Zappos and other brands in terms of the concept of the ability to do free returns, you're starting to bring that instant gratification experience that you get from the retail experience and bring that into the online way in which consumers are engaging to give them an equivalent customer experience. They get that same gratification that says, you know what, tomorrow morning I'm going to have that product on my doorstep, or tomorrow afternoon I can stop by the UPS store and ship back that size that didn't fit me. And that becomes very convenient for the consumer. One of the other things, of course, that you can do in store is you can actually touch the product. You can pick up that pair of shoes and hold them in your hand and, of course, try them on. You can experience that television set and touch the television set and play with the remote control. And so what you all have been investing in, if you have an online retail part of your business today, you've been investing in things like product videos, 360-degree views, product images, peer reviews, peer photos of their products in use. And so there's lots of different ways that you're bringing, whether it's the ability to view the product in different ways or the social experience around reviews that you get when you essentially are going into a store and are asking for help, and you're getting that in an online experience. And that's obviously now, for all intents and purposes, that's table stakes for websites when you go to shop, is you expect product videos and you expect 360-degree views and product images. And another place where it's starting to become more prevalent in an online experience than it has been to date with the in-store experience is around live assistance. So in your stores, you have experts, and you want to be able to bring that expert experience online to help someone through that buyer journey. So you think for a second, well, wait a minute, what's so great about these people that we have in store? And so these in-store sales associates, they're effectively an extension of the brand. They're representing the brand in a live, you know, flesh and blood kind of environment where they're able to welcome shoppers, obviously, but more importantly, they're able to interact with that consumer, answer product questions, guide them to the right product or products or service that you happen to be offering within that retail experience. They can focus on things like upselling. You know, this bracelet looks great with that blouse. You really need the warranty with this television. You need this particular monster cable to be able to get that high-def experience. You know, they're able to engage with that consumer and help them through the buy process, They can walk them right over the checkout counter and literally walk them through the checkout process. They and they can obviously upsell and increase your order value. And in addition, they're representing your brand. And if you think about what we were talking a couple of slides ago, if they're representing your brand and giving a good customer experience, you're much more likely to have consumers be happy with that experience. And number one, buy something when they're there. And the second thing is to come back and buy something again at a later point in time. So, how can we bring this experience from the retail world and bring it to online, where you get that level of customer experience and customer satisfaction in an online experience? So at V24, one of our customers is DFS Furniture. And DFS Furniture is a furniture retailer, obviously, based in the UK. And what they did is they shot a commercial that I will play for you in 1 second. And that commercial is focused on telling their consumers about a new offering that they have to enable them to shop for furniture online. And it's going to play right now.
We've given online shopping a personal touch, because when you're looking for the perfect sofa, there are some questions only an actual person can answer. From the comfort of your own home, you can now talk with one of our live chat team. By instant message, a one-way face chat so you can see them but they can't see you. Or if you want to talk face-to-face, just switch on your webcam. Our live chat team are trained to give advice on everything, from how to apply for interest-free credit to choosing the right sofa for your space.
Ooh, that one's nice. Have you got it in blue?
They can even show you what's on the screen using our co-browsing feature. You don't even have to lift a finger. So why not click in for a chat? The service is free, easy to use, and available 7 days a week. It's a bit like visiting our store, but without having to put your shoes on. Shopping online has never been so comfortable. DFS.
So hopefully everybody was able to hear that okay. So what DFS is doing is they're using this V24 platform that we have, which provides the ability to have live video and voice engagement with people that are engaging with DFS on their website, and the ability to co-browse and share the experience that the customer is going through online. So if you have, you know, a mortgage calculator, or a 401k retirement calculator, or a furniture configuration tool, or you want to walk someone through a process or help them fill out a form, the sales agents at DFS are able to do that using the V24 platform. But here's what's interesting, is that they set out with this project, and they decided they had some goals in mind, and those goals were to drive incremental sales, to be able to increase order value, and obviously have very happy customers. And what they're doing today is they have 20 sales agents that are online engaging with their customers, and they're seeing really fantastic results. And it's directly attributable to the fact that they're using video and voice and co-browsing as a means to engage with their consumers the same way they would if someone came in store. And what's happening is that they're seeing 29% of their sales be incremental, meaning folks came to the website, they were just browsing, they engaged with a sales agent online, and now they're actually buying product. Incremental sales, hugely impactful. They're also seeing an increase in average order value, and they're seeing fantastic NPS scores. So customer satisfaction through the roof for the folks at DFS by doing live video engagement. So engaging, having sales agents engage with someone when they're shopping online the same way they would when someone pops into the store and they're looking at a couch. And that is having great impact for the folks at DFS. Now, what's interesting is that shoppers love video assistants. So we get all sorts of feedback from our customer base where, you know, it's very useful service, it improved the experience, they'd recommend it to a friend, it's having an influence on their buy decisions. That's, again, very impactful comments that you're getting. And what's interesting is that, as we all know, the concept of consuming video online, whether it's on web or mobile, is becoming very, very commonplace, if you will, in that, you know, if you think about people using, you know, using things like YouTube, people consuming entertainment content online, people talking to their colleagues or their friends and family over video on Skype, it's becoming very, very prevalent. And so for someone to come onto a website where they're going to engage with a sales agent over voice and or video becomes something that's very prevalent, and consumers are loving this service. In fact, within the V24 platform, our customers are able to get back customer comments from the experience. And I won't read these all for you necessarily, but generally speaking, you get comments like, wow, that was an absolutely brilliant engagement. That was excellent customer service. It sets you apart from other businesses. It's effectively a differentiated service for me. You're getting unbelievable comments. Customers love this type of experience. In fact, we have one of our customers where this is the highest ranked customer satisfaction channel over and above phone, over and above text, over and above effectively any way that someone can engage with sales agents online. Now, I just want to touch on a few other points here. So what exactly am I talking about with this live video assistant? So effectively what it is an end-to-end solution on the agent side and on the consumer side. So the first thing, and Glenn was talking about this as well, is that you've got to be able to talk to these people wherever it is they happen to engage with you and your website and your brand. And that might be on the web. That might be on smartphones and tablets through mobile browsing. That might be within applications that are, you know, applications that are bought and purchased or downloaded for the phones and tablets. That even could be for in-store kiosks. That could be for tablets that you're deploying in-store and you have tablets available for someone to engage and get live help. Or that could be for folks that are using their own tablets. And so what this allows you to do is to be able to touch the consumer at every touch point. So they have that continued kind of brand experience. And on the agent side, what's very important is giving that agent at their fingertips everything that they need in order to be able to give that consumer that fantastic customer experience, to delight that customer with that level of engagement. And that ensures that you're going to have a quality experience. So, what exactly does this mean? So we have a few other examples that I wanted to talk about that are some of our customers that are having great success. So Mattress Firm is a close to $2 billion company based in the U.S. that has close to, you know, a little over 2,000 stores across the country. And they're in a very competitive space. So it's a, you know, it's a very tough space, but it is a highly considered purchase to go and buy a mattress. And so what they were looking for is to be able to have a differentiated service that they offer to help differentiate them versus their competitors. Of course, it's very easy, especially when you're doing online shopping, to bounce around to different types of vendors. And so what they were able to do and achieve with this live video engagement, voice video and co-browsing, is up to a 10 times lift in conversion rate over unassisted sessions and 25 to 100% increase in average order value. Hugely impactful for the folks at Mattress Firm. Another one of our customers is an online jewelry retailer called Bauble Bar. And what's interesting here is that, you know, there's been this trend in retail. And some of this was actually spearheaded by Apple with the concept of the Genius Bar, and it's been spearheaded by Best Buy with some of the stuff that they're doing with their folks. And so what Bauble Bar has done is actually said, you can engage directly with our SWAT team, our stylist team, that's literally called the SWAT team, that can engage with you to help you understand, you know, what type of jewelry goes with which type of outfits and how this can fit with what you're looking for. And by doing this over live video assistance, they've been able to achieve a huge increase in average order value and have a very large impact in the frequency of the engagement in terms of working with those customers and being able to have those customers return again and again and obviously buy more products when they return. The other thing that's interesting about this concept of live video, which is giving you that in-store experience that I was talking about earlier, is that you can literally pick up the product and show them the product on the camera that you're looking at or on even a second camera that can be flipped to in order to be able to show product. So in this example, there's a piece of jewelry that's being shown live on video where you could actually have that particular sales agent try on that jewelry. You could compare it next to a bracelet so you can see how it matches. And there's a lot of different things that the sales agent can do in order to be able to help, you know, bring you through that buyer journey in the exact same way that you would do that when you were, when you were in a store. And that becomes, again, very, very impactful when you start to think about how can I increase online conversion. So, a couple more examples, or really one more example, and then a bit of summary, and then we'll get to some Q&A as well. So one of our customers is Audi, and as you can see, they're very focused on providing a consistent brand experience across any touch point, whether you're on smartphone, tablet, or web. And as you know, as everybody knows, I think, it's a very considered purchase to be able to buy a car. I think, as everybody also knows, I can't go buy a car directly from Audi. I'm not actually going through and buying a car directly from Audi.com or BMW.com or Ford.com. I'm figuring out information about these products, and then I actually go buy that car at a local dealer. And so what's interesting about the Audi experience, and this could also be interesting for some of you folks that are listening on the webinar, is that some of our customers are using live video assistance as a means to capture leads and convert leads, not necessarily drive someone to sale, and actually capture people's information and drive them directly to an in-store experience. Well, then that person would go and actually complete the transaction process. So depending on the way in which you go to market as part of your retail experience and your online experience, you can use live video assistance, live video voice and co-browsing as a means to drive people to your store, whether that's on an appointment basis or just to get them driven there based on some information that they've been able to capture around, consideration of a purchase. So Audi reps are taking this information, engaging with customers to help them identify the appropriate vehicle and the appropriate configuration, and then sending that lead and that person to a local dealer to complete the transaction. And that's something, obviously, that would fit for lots of you folks as well. So to summarize, where does live video assistance, that's live voice, video, and co-browsing, have impact? It has impact on conversion rates, and our clients are seeing 5 to 10 times lift in conversion. It has impact in share of wallet. You're talking about 25 to 30% average increase in average order value, as opposed to self-service online, and it's having a massive impact on customer experience. Huge NPS scores, fantastic customer satisfaction ratings, lower average hold times, happier customers over any other channel that our customers have in the way in which people can engage online. And I think the last point I want to leave with you is that this is real. You know, companies are implementing live video assistance today in tons of different verticals, in many different use cases. This is just a sampling of some of our customers in some different verticals, but it is a real solution that customers love and that has real impact on conversion rates and on customer satisfaction. And I would think it could be very beneficial for you folks on the phone as well. And so I appreciate everybody spending some time with us today. And if anybody has any questions, I believe pass it back to the moderator, and we can open this up to some Q&A.
Yep, that was excellent. Thank you so much, guys. I just want to remind everyone that there's still a little bit of time. We have about 5 or 6 minutes for some questions. We did get a few coming in, but please, we're open to them, and we're also happy to have them answered after the event. So, my first question is, I'm going to direct this to you, Glenn. One of our listeners was listening to a lot of what you were saying around culture and organizational structure when it comes to omnichannel. And I guess he had a question around, is there a plan? Is it necessary for a large company to plan for, like, acting small when putting together this kind of a corporate culture? And if so, could you kind of just briefly let us know your feelings about that?
So, Melissa, the question was acting small relative to innovation or
exactly.
Organization? Yeah. Well, you know, so again, it's sort of hard to generalize. There are so many things, so many issues within the company. But I think so there's a couple of things that are, I would say, important. So, again, relative to, and let's just start with the organization. So what's really key is the integration. So it could be, you know, in some cases companies have recognized, and in a lot of cases these are some of the larger retailers, that if they were really going to change the way they are reacting to customer experience, that they really have to blow things up and really disrupt the organization and move towards something that that would more resemble, you know, an omni-channel sort of structure all the way top that's bottom down. I think in other cases where there's, you know, in terms of maybe one way of working smaller might be where that you don't necessarily blow the organization up, but you change the way that strategies are developed and you change the way that people are sort of rewarded and incented in terms of what's successful. So you change metrics, you change, you know, key KPIs that really start to drive the behavior within the company. And mm-hmm. then on the innovation side, I think, not a lot of folks can really sometimes set aside the funds to create an entire innovation area. But it kind of comes back to having champions, and it has to be an executive that really is the key champion here that allows sort of a systemic process to be developed where you can start to generate the ideas, generate the thinking around innovation, and sort of do it in a smaller way, if you will. But again, it's something that has to be measured, and it's something that has to be represented around, I think, some KPIs to really to create a change.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. I'm sure it's a huge undertaking for a lot of companies, so it's probably best to sort of start small and sort of see results. So let's see, Steve, somebody had a question about your product itself, and he wanted to know if your product is tied to a certain e-commerce platform or is it agnostic?
Yes, that's a great question. Thank you, Melissa. So our product is not tied to any commerce platform whatsoever. Obviously, lots of our customers do have commerce platforms and other types of solutions in place for, you know, the web experience around analytics and around all sorts of different things. And so we integrate with all sorts of different types of platforms like that. So it's not, there's no very specific commerce platform that we have to integrate with.
Okay, perfect. Another quick one for you. You mentioned in your presentation maintaining the brand as another benefit to LiveHelp. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. So, I mean, one of the things, obviously, that's critically important is that brand experience that, you know, and if you start to think about even bringing the in-store experience to online, maintaining that brand experience is critically important. And so how it fits in with the LiveHelp is that you're able to actually have someone engage with you directly as you're going through that shopping experience, and you're able to represent the brand in the same way that that in-store sales associate would have been trained up on maintaining brand as well within the store, and that overall helps with, you know, that consistency around the brand experience and, of course, ensuring that you're keeping those customer satisfaction ratings high.
Perfect. And then we only have time for about one more question, so I'm just going to kick this to you, Glenn. How about just one tip or the best tip or advice or anything you could give to the listeners about how to get more sales in store? I'm sure that's a tough one. Not sure if
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I went to mute real quick.
Oh, sure.
I would say there's probably, yeah. there's probably about 100,000 consultants out there, Melissa, that might have ideas about how to sales rate within a store. You know, one of the things that I sort of shied away with in my discussion was really talking about the way the customer experience grows revenue and in store. And sort of the reason I did that is because, you know, it's just getting retailers around the mindset that there has to be a change here relative to the customer experience just to hang on to what they already have. So, you know, again, if you look at some of the statistics on where people are, what they're looking for relative to customer experience and what people are providing, there's a huge gap there. And those that figure this out are really in a position, you know, to start to capture a share of customers. You know, so I would hesitate to say there are, you know, I mean, each retailer has their own sorts of things that would have to be factored in relative to individual sales. But I think what's important is really just in that everyone is convinced this is they have to go down this road of customer experience and understanding how customers shop today, just because to hang on to what they have for existing market share.
Yep. Definitely, customer experience. Okay, well, everybody, it looks like we're just about out of time for today. So on behalf of Retail Online Integration and V24, I want to thank you all for attending today's webinar. Thank you also to Steve and Glenn for being two great presenters. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming events and webinars. And also, if you would take just a quick minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen, we would be most grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. So I hope to see you all at the next Retail Online Integration webinar. Bye-bye.